We're going to be reading out of the book of Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude. And in the quarterlies and the adult quarterlies you have been studying, there's two books on it, really, on apostates or apostasy. But our mind isn't turned that way tonight. We're going to go another direction. We're going to come down to that chapter. There's only one chapter. We're going to come down toward the end of that chapter, and we're going to start reading in verse number 21. Now let's do our best to get in this revival. Brother Borders has been real faithful to this congregation. He don't miss revivals. He don't miss camp meetings. He not only comes to camp meetings, but he labors in the meeting also. Amen. And he'll bring forth the word of God, and I'll guarantee you one thing, when this week is over with, you'll hear the word of God. That's for sure. All right, verse number 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, thank God, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I want to talk to you for a while tonight, and we won't hold you on and on, but on staying saved. Staying saved. Now we want to, amen, look at some things tonight. We do know it's one thing to get saved, but it's another thing to stay saved. Our scripture says, unto him that's able to keep you from falling, otherwise it's possible, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, he said this in Ephesians 3 and 20, he said, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Here the apostle, amen, right into the Ephesians, elevates the power of God and lets us know that's the same power, amen, that God has that works within each one of us. God doesn't save us and then just turn us loose under our own power. In Romans, the 16th chapter, verse 25, he lets us know how this power comes to us. He writes in Romans 16, 25, and he says, now him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. The power comes to you and I through the gospel. The gospel was meant for all men of all ages. Amen. The gospel was actually preached unto Abraham. Turn with me to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse number 8, and we read this. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Amen. It was not a gospel for the Jew only, but it's for all men, and it's for all times. Our text says, he's able to keep us, to keep us from falling. And that word just simply means from slipping or from stumbling. To walk with God is to walk in safety, even in the most treacherous and slipperiest paths there is. Psalm 121, verse number 3 says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Amen. He'll enable us to stand firm, be safe in his protection. And it says he won't slumber. As far as I know, all creatures sleep. But God never sleeps, never slumbers, never sleeps. When you're sleeping, God is wide awake. The 139th Psalm, verse 11 says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the light shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are alike to thee. God's eyes are upon us by day and in the darkness of the night. Amen. God's eyes are upon us. So many times after ones are saved and seemingly doing good, amen, they're attacked and detoured by the enemy of their soul. You see them, amen, start to miss services, also not be in the service as they once were, not be on time. You cannot stay saved and miss services. You're not that spiritual. Luke the 4th chapter, verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him to all the region round about. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his habit was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. As his routine was, as his practice was, amen, on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. No doubt the place was full of hypocrites, seducers, religious professors. But that didn't stop him from his habit, from attending. We don't have to be lax, church, along this line. The gospel, which is good throughout all the ages of time, can help us. Help every one of us to stand firm. To hear the gospel, you got to be in a place where the gospel is spoken. Romans, the first chapter, I love this verse, verse 16. Paul says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. To be convicted of sin or wrongdoing, it takes the gospel. To be converted from sin, amen, takes faith in the gospel, in the word of God. To know if the devil is working in your life, it takes the gospel. To grow spiritually speaking, takes the gospel. To be an overcomer in the midst of trials and tribulations, takes adhering to the gospel. There's where the power to live holy lies. It lies in the gospel. It's the word of God that we're warned that persecution will come our way. Now, we should not be shocked about persecution. We shouldn't be dismayed when persecution comes. We shouldn't be surprised that ones even close to us cannot understand the drastic change that's taken place. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse number 12 says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It was a conviction of the Apostle Paul that if you were a true follower of Jesus Christ, You cannot escape persecution. Whenever an individual accepts a standard which differs from that of the world, he's going to have to encounter persecution. Whenever you show a loyalty which surpasses all earthly loyalties, he or she is going to go head to head with persecution. And when the church of Thessalonica experienced trouble, Paul wrote to them. And he said this in 1 Thessalonians 3:3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it come to pass, and you know. Persecution is something Jesus warned us of, and the apostles wrote about it in their letters. Matthew, the fifth chapter, listen to the words of Jesus. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, not your own fault, but for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Then listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, as he wrote in Acts the 14th chapter, verse number 22. He said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. The Christian is going to be tried. He's going to be tested. Peter said, we're not to think it strange when we go through fiery trials. He said in 1 Peter 4:12, he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Right at a time of a severe persecution that the church was going through, Peter wrote those words to comfort the saints of God. Breaking into the Hebrew letter, we read in Hebrews 11th chapter, verse number 36, speaking of those who died in the faith, he said, others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, and look what he says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, mountains, dens, caves of the earth, and these all, having a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Sometimes the ones who try you the most are right in your own household. The ones that's dearest to you. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Listen to the words of Jesus. Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. But he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. God teaches us. He teaches us to be patient in the trial. God will come to the rescue in his time. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, amen. It said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. God is always working something good for the Christian. Romans 8:28. And we know, this is something we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It may not appear as good, but rather as suffering, pain, hardship. But God is there to be, God will be your reward. It's better to suffer with Christ in that which is right than to prosper with men in that which is wrong. Speaking of Moses, familiar scripture, Hebrews 11:25, he chose. He made a choice. What was it? To suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What do you have there? Suffering against pleasure. And he chose suffering. Suffering, amen, to pleasure. There's no future for those who live outside of the realm of Christianity. Well, how does a Christian stay saved? How do they stay spiritual? I got saved in 1967 at the age of 27. Up to 6th Street, to God's Acres, to the present day. Troubles? Yes. Slip and fall? Yes. But I'm still here. There's a way you can stay saved. If you want to stay saved. Amen. We know a lot of times, ones come to an altar, but it doesn't last for hardly any time at all. Maybe through lack of knowledge, maybe because they're persecuted, or maybe they're not ready to completely sell out yet. Whatever the reason. And many times when the congregation starts to get confidence in them as established, they wind up leaving or gone. It doesn't have to be that way. Amen. It's not because they hit too hard of a trial and couldn't make it. Ones lose out because they neglect their salvation. What do we hear many times at an altar prayer or in conversation with those who have quit the race or someone that's going through a struggle? What do we hear? I didn't read and pray and read my Bible as I should. What did he do? When you pin them down, what the problem is, well, I know I haven't been praying. Well, are you reading the Word of God? Well, no, I can't say that I'm doing that either. What do you expect? That's where the power lies, in the gospel. There's probably more Bibles in homes in the United States, anywhere else in the world. You've got to have more gospel than just what you hear in revivals and camp meetings and regular services. You have to get something from God yourself. I read to you earlier that that's where the power lies in the gospel. It's necessary to read and study the Word of God. Paul, writing to the young pastor, Timothy, he gave him this admonition right at the time of an apostasy. He exhorted him, and he exhorted him this way. He said in 1 Timothy 4, amen, 9-16, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of all those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example. Example of the believers. Word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. What else did he say? Till I come, give attendance. Do it. What? To reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. It's good to study doctrines. For example, the tribulation, the 70 weeks of Daniel, the rapture. It's good to study those doctrines. He said, neglect not the gift that's in thee, which is given by the prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery or the ministry. Meditate upon those things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, watch yourself, and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them. Now the word attendance, he said, give attendance. It means to devote yourself, give attention to. A book is known by its author. That's what people give attention to. Many times when they select a book, they select it by a certain author. Or the author of the Bible is God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The scriptures in the Greek says is God breathed, God inspired. Men were moved on by the Holy Spirit when they spoke and wrote the Word of God. 2 Peter, first chapter, verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's necessary to hear what God has to say about things. Now, we know the world is quick to give you their opinion on things, but I say I like to check things out by the Word of God. Not only give attention to getting into the services, reading the Word of God, but also you need to pray. Praying. You've got to pray, church, even when you don't feel like praying. And there's going to be plenty of times you're not going to feel like praying. Probably more times than you do feel like praying. He spake a parable unto him, Luke 18:1. To this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What's the opposite of that? You don't pray, you faint. Jesus said, amen, men ought always to pray, not just when there's an opportunity, not just because an occasion comes up where you should pray, not just a time of affliction or sickness, but always to pray. Don't give up on praying. I say there's going to be times when you don't feel like praying. Amen. There's going to be times when you just don't feel like it. You can't explain why. You just don't feel like praying. That's the times you have to bring this flesh under. Bring this flesh under. And tell God that. Tell God that. Tell God you don't even feel like praying. And you start into it, I guarantee you before you're through, you'll feel like praying. Takes in the times when the flesh doesn't want to. Takes in the times when you're, amen, busy and in a rush. Maybe something comes up and you got to go out of the house in a hurry. You haven't prayed. Pray on the way. Pray on the way. Pray in the car. But men are always to pray. There are a lot of things to pray about. For the lost. For each other. For the services. For yourself. For your country. For the missions. For the sick. And pray when you're discouraged. On and on the list goes. Make yourself a prayer list. We have a prayer list at home. We take off or we add to it. And that helps you, church, to remember names. Remember the requests brought in the services. Amen. I know what I'm preaching about tonight. It's just basics. But I know what I went through to stay saved. I had to continue. Amen. I had to continue. Being in the house of God. Whether I felt like coming or not. Whether my family felt like coming or not. Stay in the house of God. Study the Word of God. And we had prayer. These are things everyone must do. God is no respecter of persons. Amen. He's no respecter of persons at all. Every one of us need to do this. And the more you do it, the more you're going to grow spiritually. Just like when you water and fertilize flowers or whatever you do, amen, you pay attention to it, the better it blossoms. And the more mature it gets. Be available. Be in the services all that you possibly can. Now be available in the work, different functions of the church. There's going to be work days. There's going to be camp meetings to work in. There's work on the trumpeter. See those who have oversight in different functions and just make yourself available. They might not need you then, but they might need you in the future. Of all the different areas of the congregation, there's always somebody who could use help. I know it seems far-fetched, but ones used to actually take their vacation to work in the camp meeting. Do you know that? Somebody said, how do you know it? Because I did it. When I first went to Rock Hall, I didn't have the seniority. So I had to take whatever I could get. But when I got the seniority, and most everybody wants off in the summertime, but when I got to seniority and had the choice, I chose camp meeting time. Amen. Why? To me, that's a great time. That's a wonderful time. Staying saved. Don't just get saved just to put your home back together. Amen. Don't get saved just because, amen, you're out of money or finance and need help. Get saved because you're lost and you need help in your soul. When that's the reason, then you're more apt to stick around until the end. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself, and they may hear thee. You cannot be lazy, church, and stay saved. Any more than you can keep your job if you don't go to work. Put forth the effort, and you're going to find it's worth it. The wife and I pray together every day. We talk over the burdens. Sometimes she gets prayer requests through Facebook that I don't get. Sometimes I get them through text message. She don't get them. And we go over and make a list every night and during the day. And we have prayer together. You know, it's good for couples to pray together. Somebody said, we never done it. So what? When I got saved, I'd never done it either. But God will help you if you want to. If you want to start it, start it. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how, amen, how you feel when you see that companion. Somebody said, well, I'd be afraid to pray out. Well, you're not afraid to talk out. You can pray out. You can do it. Grab that companion and say, let's have prayer together. And if you forget to pray sometimes, pray in the car. Amen. I'm just trying to say things tonight that helps us. That helps us to stay saved. Put your desires on the things of God. The things of God. I want to listen to the words of Jesus. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse number 5, says this: when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, corners of the streets, they may be seen of men. We don't pray to be seen of somebody. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What is a reward? It's praise of men. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain reputations, as the heathens do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. I want you to notice something, and I'm not going to go into all this. I just want you to notice the words, when thou prayest, and the words, when you pray. Somebody said, what's that mean to you? It's like Jesus took it for granted that a Christian would pray. When thou prayest, or when you pray, a Christian will pray. Listen, that's how you got a hold of God. That's how you become a Christian. And that's exactly how you stay a Christian. Just brought some basics tonight. We're not going to hold you on and on. We want to see everybody that comes to an altar prayer. We'd like to see him stay right there to the end. God will give you a good life. I could go to testimonies tonight right here of ones who were saved from sin and now they're enjoying the good life. Yes, we have trials. We have persecution. We have things we don't understand. But we also have a great God that we can call upon anytime. And you know, the great thing about it is the more you want God, the more God wants you. Amen. And you can be just as spiritual, just as on fire for God, as you desire to be tonight.